This is Limitless Possibility. I'm Luc-Olivier Dumable.
And I'm Yannick Magnan.
And what's our topic this week, Yannick?
Vaporwave.
Okay. I know it's related to the work I did over the weekend, but, interesting. But before we start, I think you also have some follow-up, right?
Yeah. So last week I had a big rant about how Apple Music isn't really tenable for DJs. And I left out one big detail, which is the solution to the big DJ problem, which is iTunes Match. So all of the issues I mentioned on last week's episode only occur if you are not an iTunes Match subscriber. If you are an iTunes Match subscriber, of course, all of the music that you download from iTunes Match is non-DRM'd, so you can DJ on iOS devices. The problem I have with it, and the reason I don't really see it as a true solution, is that iTunes Match gives me the benefit of the doubt that the music that I have on my computer I own legally, and therefore it grants me all of the rights that I normally have. And it costs less than Apple Music is on a yearly basis. But if you pay for Apple Music and you don't pay for iTunes Match, you effectively get rights taken away from you or from the music that you already own. And the only way to get those rights back is to pay another subscription on top of that, which seems unfair. And the other thing is, if Apple wants to do the right thing and say, okay, we want everybody who owns music and uses Apple Music to have the rights that they are legally entitled to, like if they buy music on CD or whatever, then the reason for iTunes Match to exist basically disappears. And the only benefit that iTunes Match has over Apple Music in that context is a bigger catalog of songs. But you don't care about the bigger catalog of songs because you can still upload the tracks that are not in the Apple Music catalog. So in my mind, they should just get rid of iTunes Match and just make the Apple Music matching no DRM. And then this whole problem basically goes away. Other issues with Apple Music remain, of course, but that issue, which prevents DJs from basically being able to use Apple Music unless they pay another fee on top of that, goes away. Next up, I had a little anecdote about Beats 1. Notably, before Apple Music launched, I said I wasn't sure about the whole global Beats 1 thing where it's worldwide and always on, but you basically took it a little bit emotionally. That it's like bringing people together with music or all around the world. And amusingly enough, this week during Ellie Goulding's show, I was talking about it with a friend in Japan, and I really felt the globalness of Beats 1 be true, because we were both listening to the same show in real time and talking about it on Twitter, and it was really cool.
And yeah, something really funny about Beats 1 is I was the one that was pretty hyped about it, and you're the one that is listening to it a lot, especially compared to me, which was only one time right now.
Yeah, I listen to two or three shows a week, and I really want to go back and listen to Drake's show, because now they are archiving shows on Connect. It's almost all the shows, so you can go back and listen to those shows, and apparently Drake premiered two new songs, entirely new songs on his show. And it's becoming a real platform for artists to launch new music. Of course, it's artists that are already in the spotlight. It's not new artists necessarily, but it's still real interesting to see what they're doing with Beats 1 and where it's going. And it's really the part of Apple Music that I am most thrilled about. On the opposite end of the spectrum, there's someone who wasn't very thrilled this week about Apple Music, and that's Jim Dalrymple, who wrote a very big piece about how basically he lost 4,000 songs to Apple Music. And it sort of caused a commotion, because without wanting to hate on Jim or anything, I think he's a great person, but I think that he leans a little bit too much towards Apple sometimes when it's not necessarily deserved. And this time, basically, don't fuck with Jim's music. Is like, he's a big music fan. Don't fuck with his music, or else he'll get really mad and dump your product. Now, the conclusion, and this is something that sort of bothers me for other reasons, the conclusion is that he contacted Apple and Apple sort of seemed to have fixed his problems. The problem is we're not all Jim Dalrymple, and we are not all people in the media with high influence on other people and consumers. So it's unrealistic for normals to get the same treatment as Jim got. And what especially bothered me is he recorded a podcast with John Gruber on the same day that that article came out. And basically, there was a whole part where they were talking about the problems with Apple Music and their complaints and working through what happened to Jim. And that entire part got cut out of the final episode because he felt it wasn't fair because his problems were fixed. I'm not very comfortable with that decision, but it's not my podcast, so I can't really do shit about it.
No, you're right. It just felt to me that maybe something that happened during the recording was like they were like on the mean side of things. And since he was able to get his account fixed, maybe he felt some remorse in doing so. So I would also see that as a point of why he did cut it off. But no, oh well. I honestly hope when I'll migrate my old iTunes library from my iMac that I'm currently recording from, I really hope that this won't happen to me. Because I'm sure what'll happen is that even if I complain to Apple support, they won't do shit. But,
Keep a backup of your music library, kids, or buy everything on CDs like me so you can re-rip it if it goes berserk.
Indeed.
All right, do you have any follow-up of your own?
Nope.
All right, so let's get right into the topic. So the topic of the week is vaporwave. It is a musical genre. It is a very strange musical genre that a lot of people don't have familiarity with, including Nick Olivier, until this week when I told him to listen to 4 albums. And of course, only 3 of those were actually vaporwave albums. That's sort of the catch. I just want to go a little bit over why we're doing this. So I was inspired by Inquisitive's favorite album series, and I wanted to do a show about music. And I listen to some very strange music sometimes, and vaporwave is one of those genres.
Sometimes?
Well, a lot of the music I listen to is more normal than this was.
Okay.
And so I decided to introduce the Cut of You to the genre and might as well make it an episode. It's an episode I've been wanting to make for a couple months now, and I'm glad that we're finally going to do it. And apparently it's going to be very hilarious.
Yes, indeed. Looking at my notes and just like I was seriously listening to them yesterday and today, and I was just writing notes while listening. I was like, oh my goodness, Yannick,
I would have
so
loved
much
to see your face.
Yep.
All right, so let me just go over the rules. We explained them on last episode, but I should do it again for people who are listening specifically to this episode. The rules: I gave him 4 albums to listen to in full, in order, preferably with headphones on, to do a service to anybody else who might possibly be in the room.
Speaking of which, this rule did not happen because most of the time I was just alone, so...
Yeah, but I still think there are certain things that you can pick out better in stereo with headphones than you could necessarily with speakers, but all right.
Yeah, I agree, but I didn't have that much time to just listen to it while, like, I want to concentrate on that, but also do stuff around the house, so it was the easiest way to do.
All right. I also told him don't do any research beyond listening to the albums, because it's boring if he knows all the info beforehand. Take notes of what you do and don't like if possible.
Good. To be honest, though, the only research I did is to improve my maybe music vocabulary, because I was like always, like I'm looking at my notes, I'm like was always repeating the same words. It was like I wanted to give the good words, like use the right words. So that's only what I did. So I didn't Google any of those albums.
All right.
And I'm sure that's good for me.
Next up in the rules was don't tell me any of your notes before the show, because I wanted it to be actually the first time I was hearing his comments on the show, so it would be the best reactions. And for listeners, you can stop here and go listen to the albums if you'd like. I'm going to name them in a second. Links to all these albums can be found in the show notes, and they can all be streamed over Bandcamp, which is great. And if you don't have time for that, no worries, because there are going to be clips of the albums throughout the episode. And there are going to be some pointers in the right direction if you want to learn more about Vaporwave at the end of the episode. So the four albums that I gave Rico to listen to were Floral Shop by Macintosh Plus, Atmosphere's Daiichi by Echo Virtual, Mirai-e by Telepath, Terepashi no Ryokusha, and Hit Vibes by St. Pepsi. And we're going to start with Floral Shop.
Okay, so on the pre-show, I asked you, like, how do you want to do this episode? And you were mostly like, so I want to do my intro, I want to do the outro, and the rest is just free-for-all. So what I did while listening to it is take notes on each song. And for most album, it worked perfectly. So I had something to say on each track. And at the same time, it's not only about the song I was listening to, but mostly the experience of just listening to those albums and concentrating on listening to music. Because these days, like, I will do that maybe the first or the second listen when I will listen to a new album from an artist I like. But most of the time, it's just background noise. So I will use it to work, to when I walk, when I work out, some stuff like that. And I won't concentrate that much on the details because I just want background noise. So it was a pretty good and fun experiment to do. It's on a genre I didn't know about, but listening to all of these albums, I was able to find some resemblance between them and between three of them, to be honest, as you mentioned. And yes, so let's jump on that album. So that album
Can I just give a basic introduction to the album first?
Of course.
All right, so Floral Shop, it's a big deal when it comes to Vaporwave. It's the most hyped Vaporwave release on the internet. And arguably, it's one of the first releases that was actually labeled Vaporwave. It was released on the Beer on the Rug label. And Macintosh Plus is an alias of the artist Vectroid, also known as Ramona Andre Xavier. And she and another Vaporwave artist called Internet Club basically gave the name to the genre, which makes it fairly interesting. And it's the release that put Vaporwave on the map. And that album made several Album of the Year lists in nerdy music blogs. And really, if you want to talk about Floral Shop, its heavy use of sampling, looping, and glitching to give a sinister sound to a utopian 80s vision.
Okay, so that's nice that you do a small explanation of the genre, because looking at my notes, I have repeated everywhere, like, the word 80s, like 80s music. And especially for that album, like something I like to call like skipping CD,
yeah,
genre stuff. It was so annoying to me. Seriously. Okay, maybe I will just like track number 6. There's blah blah blah. I'll come back on that. But this, okay, I'll end on my last sentence. This song is truly great, and no fucking skipping CD in all caps. So yeah, that's the part I hated the most about this album. It's like, yeah, in my summary I said go fuck yourself skipping CD, seriously.
Well, okay, I should explain a little bit where that came from. So Vaporwave is basically inspired by two albums. It's Chuck Person's Echo Jams, which is basically literally just loops of 80s music slowed down and pitched down. And annoyingly looping. Like, if you thought Floral Shop was bad, Echo Jams is like 10 times worse.
Oh my goodness.
And there's also James Ferrara's Far Side Virtual, which basically was supposed to be a soundtrack for the rapidly changing digital world of today, but still sort of fits in this genre of weird experimental music. And Floral Shop is really the fusion of both of those, but they're not annoying enough, well, at least to my ears, to still be considered music.
Okay, seriously, like, you know what? Maybe I'll go on the good part of the album. So,
oh.
What I really enjoy about it, because seriously, I really like these skipping themes. All right, like it was like a couple of seconds and skip again. And like seriously, I'm done with it. I just don't want to hear music with that.
But if you had to guess which song is the most popular, which would you choose?
Let me look at my note. You know what? Since I really enjoyed track number 6, I think it was maybe the longest one, but the beat of this one was really great. Yeah, and you know what? I think I will say this one, but what worries me is there was no skipping CD, so I'm not sure.
So the most popular song on this album is called Lisa Frank 420 Gendai no Kompyu, and it's track number 2. That is another reason why we are using track numbers, is because all of these song names are in Japanese. I should point out that I don't think Vectroid actually knows Japanese. I think she just put things into Google Translate and named them that way. And that's sort of part of the entire genre, I should say.
Wow, okay.
There's a vaporwave artist called Wolfenstein OS10. That's another great thing about the genre. The artist names are messed up. But he made a documentary about vaporwave, and in there he calls basically Floral Shop and vaporwave that's inspired by Floral Shop as glorification of stealing old music, slowing it down, and redistributing it under an alias in a foreign language. So, yeah.
Okay. I get it now. I seriously get it. I think it explains tons of stuff I was like trying to understand while listening to those albums.
And do you know why it's sort of kitschy 80s music slowed down? Have you figured that part out?
Seriously, no. But I was like, hey, the 80s music part is pretty good. Like, that's the common theme around those album is that's what I enjoyed the most.
Well, there's that, but I don't think that's actually the original intent around vaporwave. So early vaporwave, there are basically two schools of thought. There's the utopian school of thought and the dystopian school of thought. And basically, it's a critique of capitalism and I was going to say Vectroid, but Macintosh Plus's work is very much rejecting capitalism. That's why it has the dark, sinister sound in it. Whereas someone like Internet Club makes albums that are basically corporate hold music sort of albums that embrace capitalism. They're like, the song titles are very much unironically in love with the idea of corporate culture, maybe even bordering on parody. And that's sort of what's special about early vaporwave, is it's very much a critique on capitalism using these old 80s songs, which could pass as kitschy music that would be mall music, elevator music, hold music, all that stuff. You find a lot of that resemblance in vaporwave.
Interesting. You know, I was looking at my notes, and track 13 and 14, my notes were like, for 13 is saxophone playing through an old grainy radio. And for 14 is saxophone is gone, just music through an old grainy radio. I can't hear the lyrics properly. What I said is like, give it more, something like that. It's like, that's strange.
Well, there's... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, but now that you explain it, it's maybe to mock capitalism. Like, I see why they might have used like an old grainy radio effect on those tracks.
Well, speaking of old grainy radio, there's a subgenre of vaporwave called Broken Transmission, and Vectroid made an album in that subgenre called Prism Genesis under the alias Fujigrid TV, and literally the entire album is remixes of 80s television commercials from Japan through the speakers of like a VHS tape playing on an old 80s television. I love that album. It doesn't
so
really
strange.
It doesn't really qualify as music to my ears, but it's really weird and awesome in some ways.
I'm sure at that point it's just a mix of noises that are compartmentalized. Exactly. See, I was trying to make my own kind of vaporware. That's the gist of it here. No, I'm joking. So yeah. That are compartmentalized on like tracks, and it's just weird. Okay.
Right. If you like Floral Shop, you should go check out either Prism Genesis for that Broken Transmission feel, or there's another album called Initiation Tape, Isle of Avalon Edition, under the alias New Dreams Limited. And that album, the concept is like you're waking up from a cryogenic state in sort of a futuristic Empire State Building skyscraper apartment. And it's the music of the future, sort of. It's really weird, but I really like the sounds of that. And we should probably like finish up with your notes and then go on to the next album.
Good. So I'll finish up by giving you some glimpse to my note is maybe, okay, let's, okay, 1, 2 is fine. Okay, 3 is okay. Something I found really strange is on some songs, they were fading it out at the end, and some songs, the ending was abrupt. I was like, come on, make your mind at some point. Like, you want to use fade in, fade out, or not? So that was strange. And interesting at the same time. I think it could explain what you just said about all of this or about this artist. So yeah, there's a lot of, I really hate the skipping CD. And speaking of track 7, I was like, oh, it's, I had to pronounce the saxophone because it was that for the whole song. It was just saxophone playing with that rhythm. And yeah, maybe I'll go to the small summary I wrote. Is my opinion about this album was either I love the rhythm of a song or I seriously hate it. skipping the CD part, for me, this album was more a music album than a lyrics album.
Yeah.
Even if I hated half of the songs on it.
Yeah, a lot of vaporwave, and we'll talk about this later albums too, is very much atmospheric and ambient as opposed to music. Well, not musical, because it's still musical, but you know, it's not a vocal album at all, really.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, and last thing about my notes is like on track 9, I was like, oh, great mix of instrument. Is that a fucking triangle? What? Birds are singing. So yeah, it was pretty neat.
Music is weird.
Good. So album number 2?
Right. The second album is Atmospheres Daiichi by Equivirtual.
Good. So I have pre-listened notes, which is pretty funny. Like, I was looking at the name of the tracks compared to the English name of the album, and it was pretty funny to me because they were using all of the they were pretty inclusive on the weather theme on this album. So
right, well, Echo Virtual's not biography because it's not really a biography, but their thing is atmospheric research and analysis music. And really, to describe it in words, it's sort of like Weather Channel music with a slightly droning, uncomfortable feeling at times. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and it will reflect my opinion of track 8, which is, I said, all kind of depressing sounds sound so happy. Compared to track 9, the valley breeze felt so depressing compared to the tropical depression.
That's true.
So, yeah, it's like some stuff are supposed to be sad, but they're not. And some other songs are supposed to be happy, but they're not.
Yeah. One interesting fact about this album is, unlike Floral Shop, there are no samples of other songs used. It's entirely original music. And another thing that sets it apart from Floral Shop is it was one of the first albums that really moved away from the theme of capitalism in the vaporwave genre and really just said, well, this is a sound. We can play with a sound and go in other directions. And this direction was, let's make weird Weather Channel remix music.
Yep, but seriously, I don't know what to say about this album, though. I seriously can't say that I enjoyed it, but I can't say that I hated it, too.
Well, do you think it would make, like, good background noise for working or something like that? Because it's so... it's there, basically.
Yes and no. Like, you know, like... that's a good question, then. There was some interesting choice that they made that I didn't like. So I'm sure if it was background noise, I was just like, at some point in the album, I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, on track 3, 5, and 7, where I noted that is the yeah guy. I was like, I don't remember, maybe that's the wrong tone, but there was a guy that just say yeah all of the time. And on track number 5, which is Nimbostratus, oh my goodness, clown names, which is a jazzy saxophone track plus a guy that says yeah all the time. It's like, what the fuck is that? Oh my goodness.
You haven't been watching the Weather Channel too enough.
Exactly. And seriously, like track number 3, Bermuda High, where I said first song with lyrics, which was the introduction of this yeah guy. Oh my goodness. So yeah, but I was surprised because this album was really, really short. Like 21 minutes is so short for an album compared to what I'm used to.
Yeah, vaporwave is strange in that songs will either be extremely long or extremely short. And this is even more so the case for Future Funk, which we'll talk about later. But there isn't really a standard song length that often.
Yeah, I was looking at the soundtrack, and it seemed to me that for album 1 and 3, most of the song were above 3 minutes and a half. But for album 2 and 4, which are shorter albums, it was more around like 2 minutes and a half as an average. I didn't do any calculation there, but it was just something like, it's either they know that they are like passing a certain threshold without maybe knowing it, or they don't. Like, if it's after like 3 minutes and a half, I was like, okay, it's either way long or like 4 or 5 minutes.
Well, I think that Floral Shop and Minaye, to some effect, use looping to make things seem really mundane, and that's part of the art of what they're trying to do. But I think Echo Virtual, where he's trying to make, or she, I don't know, is trying to make basically music you listen to. You don't want to overkill with the looping ad infinitum. Like, there's a 12-minute track on the next album, which is sort of really long.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think maybe they're just conscious of the kind of music they're making and saying, maybe we shouldn't be looping this forever.
No, and you're right. It's something that I realized, because the only place where I complain about a skipping beat was on track 10, which is Troposphere.
Yeah.
And that's the only comment about I had about this track, was like, skipping beat again, please stop. Because what happened is I listened to album 1 and 2 nearly back and forth, back to back. Like, I think I listened to album 1, one to watch some other stuff just to maybe clear my mind about music and to be back into the right mindset for album number 2, Atmospheres. And then I moved to album 3 and 4 earlier this evening.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, album 3 and 4 were, my listening experience was more condensed. Like, I had to listen it in one block. So, I know we're only at the half of the album, but I think those albums feels to me that you should listen to them once in a while. You can enjoy them once in a while. And that's probably it.
Do you think you would have enjoyed this album better if it had more, less jazzy influences and more electronic influences?
That's a good question, because I really enjoyed the jazzy experience. Obviously, it reminds me of that. You'll love that reference. It reminded me of that shitty, like, porn show that they were showing us in Quebec, like, on TV at, like, a, like, I think it was on during the weekend, during the night. They were showing a, I think it's called in French, Blue Nuit or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. Everybody have heard of that. So, like, really, like, 80s porn still broadcast I think they ended that like 10 years ago. So they were still
broadcast. No, it still airs.
What?
It still airs. I saw it like 5 years ago.
Okay, so can you imagine like some kind of private TV channel in Quebec that after midnight or 1 start broadcasting, not porn, just some kind of 80s erotica with not a jazzy soundtrack, a saxophone soundtrack. That's it.
Well, actually, I might have an album to recommend you then. It's called Virtual Saxophone Transmissions, and I think it's by Ghosting. It satisfies that itch.
I wouldn't call it an itch, but okay. And to answer your question, I don't know, seriously. I think the jazzy part of that album feels right to it. So I wouldn't replace it with electro that much.
I think it's sort of authentic to the Weather Channel sound that would lean more towards jazzy than towards electronic. But the reason I point that out is because Atmospheres is actually right now it's a 4-part series. Who knows if they'll add more. And Atmospheres 2 is similar album, except it has more of a trap influence instead of jazz. So that may be something to check out if you were a fan of this album. If you were less a fan of the Weather Channel atmosphere, but still want something with that 90s network television flavor, there are 2 Vaporwave albums for you. There's Midnight Television by Midnight Television, and there's Telenights by Ghosting, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. And I would add on to that, there's an artist called Television Archives, which literally just takes stuff off the television and puts it on Bandcamp. So if you're into that 90s late night TV network television vibe, those are some albums to check out. Do you have anything else to add on this album?
Nope.
All right. So the next album is Miraille by Telepath.
Oh,
the longest one, right?
Is it really the longest one? It's close between Floral Shop and Miraiye, I think. But
by 4 minutes. I have a number in front of me.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's longer than the first one by 4 minutes.
I should explain a little bit who Telepath is. Telepath is the co-founder of a record label, well, a vaporwave record label called Dream Catalog. Dream Catalog was founded by both Telepath and Hong Kong Express. And their focus is dream music, escapist concept albums that take you somewhere and make you feel things with music. And I don't know if you felt that way, but that's pretty much exactly what this album is.
Okay, the only thing I felt during listening to this album is rage.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, let me read the album description first, and then you can tell me if it fits the concept, at least.
Okay.
The year is 2083, and you have just boarded a transcontinental transport vehicle. You arrive in Flamingo, Miami that night and are greeted by an ocean of people bustling about. As you walk down the brightly lit streets, vibrant with color, some music begins to play. A stranger stops you, hands you a drink, and proposes a toast. To the future! Does it fit that concept?
It does. And now it explains why I wrote, there's some kind of monster singing.
Well, that's because it's slowed down 80s music. What do you expect?
Yeah, but I didn't realize it was slowed down. It was just like crappy music. But funny aside is, on track number 2, I recognize one of the songs that they use.
It's not all Japanese music. Some of it is, but not all of it is.
No. I realized that. I was like, I know this rhythm, and I know this lyrics, because they were repeating Give It Up every time. And I was like, oh my goodness, what's the name of the song? So, use Google, and that's the part half of the research I did. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is that song. So, on track number 2, they are using Give It Up by Casey's and the Sunshine Band. And then I realized, oh my goodness, they are using so much catchy 80s songs. Like, oh my goodness. So, yeah. You know what? Let me read you my description of track number 7. And if I recall correctly, that's the longest song on the album, on one of the two. Because, I think it's track 11, which is the last track, is also a long one.
Yeah.
So, my description of track number 7. Still trying to figure out what it is in the rhythm / beat that I seem to enjoy. Maybe it's the mix of 80s music plus the low-quality music, but, yeah, I still don't know. Okay, the first 3 minutes were good. Now there is some kind of monsters which try to sing over the beat, sad face. I don't know if it's part of the original track or some shitty MP3 processing, but there's some clipping noise, sad face. Oh, and also 9 minutes and a half for a track is long, especially when this person is singing.
And especially when it's sort of looping a lot.
Yeah. And to be honest, though, it's a recurring theme. Like, those albums felt to me like, especially this one, like I just said, I really dislike this album, but I'm sure that I will have enjoyed an instrumental version of it. Like, remove the weird guy singing, or the slowdown, like, the rhythm and beat and the music part of the songs were pretty nice. And that's a theme recurring in my opinions of the first of all of the albums. Album number 4 is a special snowflake, so let's forget about it. But the first 3 albums were, I had mostly the same opinion. It's like, yeah, okay. If it was an instrumental album, I would sure enjoy it. But there's so much stuff I hate right now that it's Oh, well.
Well, okay. So there's some interesting stuff to get out of that. So the first thing is, there's a lot of instrumental vaporwave that would probably be just right for you. This album maybe wasn't the best choice for that because it features a lot of slow down 80s music. But yeah. Telepath released something last week, which I jokingly mentioned to you earlier. He has a project that he's been doing called Virtual Dream Plaza, and he released basically the final work in that project last week, a 15-hour album consisting of 31 tracks that are 31 minutes each, each basically being their own dream. And I think you could probably find a lot of tracks in there that are instrumental that you would enjoy.
Yeah.
But you'd have to sift through 15 hours of music.
Oh my goodness. I won't do that. I won't do that.
I'm trying to work through the entire thing, but it takes a lot of time. The other thing is, I use this album a lot to try to basically concentrate on work, which seems sort of crazy, but that's what I do.
Whoa. I already mentioned in past episode that I was able to listen to podcasts while coding. But you're able to listen to that while coding?
Yeah, it's just ambient music in the background.
But the weirdo is singing. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but I just don't really pay attention. It's sort of like the music that isolates me from the rest of the world, and I can be in this little dream world from time to time. Another note that I have on this album is this album, maybe more than all of the others so far, when I listen to it, I feel like I'm in Japan. And that is sort of a weird thing that is like an undercurrent in vaporwave, as a lot of the albums are unapologetically inspired by the culture of Japan, or at least the cityscapes of Japan and what Japan looks like at night and all that stuff. And I can listen to this album and see things that I've seen in Japan, and it just works well together and creates this sort of synergy in my brain. Maybe I'm just a broken human being, but but yeah, it's just a good escapism album for doing that, and I can enjoy it just as well when I'm coding or when I just completely shut down and go in bed and put on my headphones and just listen to the album for the sake of listening to the album. So yeah,
but like you mentioned when we spoke about Flower Shop that the artist was using Japanese but mostly like putting what they wanted in Google Translate and giving them Japanese. So I assume that the artist is just Japanese.
There are actually surprisingly few artists that are actually Japanese in the vaporwave scene. And ironically, the Japanese artists will often use like English song names or try to masquerade as English speakers, because that's sort of like the meme of the genre, is you try to masquerade as another culture. So there's Korean vaporwave, which is not by actual Koreans, but their song names are in Korean for some reason. There's Arabic vaporwave as well, so it's not really that thing. But like, there's an artist called Cool Japan, which has a number of albums and also has a really great song called Rush Hour, which came out last year and was a big hit in the vaporwave future funk communities. And if you go to Cool Japan's account on Twitter, all of the tweets are in English, but and sometimes he tries to make it seem like he's from New York City and flying to Japan and stuff like that, whereas all evidence seems to point at it being Tofu Beats, which is a very popular Japanese producer. So it's sort of really funny to see how people try to masquerade as other cultures, and also how badly they do so when they don't know the language sometimes. Like, some track names just grammatically don't work.
Oh my. But this explanation will, like, seems logic when you mention the current artist of this album, his latest project about, like, each track is a dream. So let's project ourselves in a dream where we are, for example, a Japanese person living in Japan.
Yeah, or even like, it's not even as difficult as that, because there's an album on Dream Catalog called Yes, We're Open by an artist called Groceries. And it's literally like the music you would hear at a Korean grocery store if you were shopping. And it even sounds like it's coming over the speakers. That's a subgenre of vaporwave called Mallsoft, which basically tries to recreate the experience of being inside an abandoned mall or shop.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So before we jump on the next album, I want to read some of my notes to you. Okay, so most of the beginning of the album is just not funny. So after reading track 7, I'll read my notes for track 8 through 11, and those are the funniest, in my opinion. So we start with... remember, track 7 was like, oh yeah, it's long. I don't understand what I like about it, but it's long. And then it went well. And then I was like, ugh. So we go to track 8, which I was like, oh yeah, great beat. And no weirdos. So that's nice. This makes me happy. Track 9. Okay. Now he's doing some kind of yelling. Please make it stop now. So yeah, and we're back on the great beat again and the weirdo. And I want to know your opinion about the last track on this album, because this track made me sad. I was like, okay, yeah, I had a weird experience listening to this album, but it felt strange to me to end on a song that is so melancholic. I was like,
and long.
Yes, long, but I guess the artist wanted the listener to feel sad and to maybe send this particular feeling at the end of the track. And I still don't know why.
Well, let me tell you the track name. And after that, I'll actually say the track names for each of the tracks because they're all in Japanese. Yeah, they're all in Japanese.
Yep.
So the last track is called Long Breakup, or Nagai Wakare in Japanese. So that sort of explains it.
Hmm. Okay. That could be why.
It could be. I'm going to go over every song name. So the first one is New Day. Second one is Your Love. Third one is Flamingo Miami, which is apparently the setting for this album. It doesn't exist, but whatever. Number 4 is Only You. Number 5 is Silver. Number 6 is Secrets. Number 7 is Time Waves. Number 8 is Faint Light. Number 9 is Midnight. Number 10 is Running. And as I said, 11 is Long Breakup.
Hmm. Can you repeat the name of 4?
Only You. It's actually one of the samples. Well, it's not one of the samples, but it's one of the lines in the original song that's sampled in that song, which is Futari no Natsu Monogatari, which is our summer story, basically. Translated.
Yeah. No, but that's really interesting, because what I wrote for this song is, this song is really calm. Like, I felt relaxed after.
It's my favorite of all of the album.
So, and then the name will explain the mood that this song leaves you in.
Yeah, Telepath, above other vaporwave artists, actually seems to know what he's doing in Japanese. That's not to say that everything is perfect, but he at least seems to have an idea what he's doing. And the tracks usually have names that make sense and are grammatically sound and stuff, which is good. Before we move on to the next album, I have one last album recommendation for people who like this album, and it's not going to be very surprising if you paid attention earlier. The co-founder of Dream Catalog, Hong Kong Express, his first album, which apparently is called Romantic Dream, but I can't read Chinese, so I can't actually tell you if it is. It's really, really good, and it's good in a different way from this one. The theme for that album is a romantic night in Hong Kong. and it's very cinematic in the way that it tries to portray that location, but it doesn't do so by employing the same tricks as this album does. And it helps to show you the entire range of what Vaporwave can be as an album. As a bonus recommendation, both Hong Kong Express and Telepath have collaborated on a series of albums. Their project is called 2084, and it's obviously a music from the year 2084. And some of those albums are really great, and I believe there's another one coming out soon, so that's going to be exciting. But now we should move on to the last album, which isn't even really Vaporwave. It's Saint Pepsi's Hit Vibes.
I really enjoy this album, by the way.
That's it's because it's not nice. Vaporwave.
That might be why.
Yeah, but so the reason I included this album is it's basically how I came to discover Vaporwave, even though it's not Vaporwave. It's actually a genre called Future Funk, which is a derivative of Vaporwave with lots of inspiration from New Disco and French House. Yeah.
It explains a lot now.
Yeah. This album was released on the Keats Collective label, which has since sort of become the future funk label on Bandcamp. And it's by Saint Pepsi, which is no longer known by that name because Pepsi wasn't very happy. so now he's known as Skylar Spence. And this is sort of the album that put him on the map with regards to mainstream music, because this album, unlike a lot of Vaporwave, is actually accessible to normal people. And basically this and his Vaporwave remix of Call Me Maybe are what really made him become huge. And now he's signed to an independent music label called the Car Park Records, and he's playing big summer festivals, including Lollapalooza, or more local to us, he was at Festival d'été de Québec a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
He was, yes.
Ooh.
And he's going to be in Montreal soon and stuff like that. And yeah, this album basically is not Vaporwave, but I thought you would like it. And it's sort of, you can find bits where it's sort of Vaporwave derived sometimes. And I thought it would be a nice way to end it, especially since Future Funk really became huge last summer. It sort of exploded, and there were a bunch of really good releases that came out last summer, which fits because it's good music to listen to in the summer, especially when you're in the pool and stuff like that.
No, you're totally right. I was seriously pretty happy that you ended with that album. I was like, I
didn't want to be disappointed with all my album choices.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, at least I can say that I really enjoyed one. And this is the one. It's seriously nice. And what I liked about the name of this genre, it's this album fit it pretty well. Like, on, for example, what I said about track 2, which is Have Faith, it's seriously, wow. It's a great modern take on disco music. Great singer, great music. I love it.
So those are all samples of basically existing disco tracks or funk tracks from the past, but they're repurposed in really cool and clever ways that also fit the pop sensibilities of today. I mean, I know you're not familiar with all of Saint Pepsi's work, but now he's sort of branching out more into pop songs based on the same principles that he used in this album.
Hmm.
And he's doing the vocals for them, which is even more surprising because he's just sort of a normal guy. But yeah, I'm really looking forward. His album is dropping in September called Prom King. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Hmm. No, and seriously, I was really enjoying myself listening to this episode, to this album. Starting at track 9, I was like, I just gave up on taking notes. I was just enjoying the music.
Yeah, yeah.
like, my summary is so short compared to the other ones. Like, this is my favorite album in the all fours. Lovely music, great singer, great take on disco music, and also kind of dance while listening to it and doing chores around the apartment. So,
definitely.
Yeah, it's like you just want to dance, and I really like the image you drawn. Like, you put that album in the pool or at the beach, and you just want to have a good time. That's the kind of music you'll put on.
Yeah, more recommendations on the future funk genre. The album Bay by Young Bay is a really solid album, regardless of what you think of the artist, because he is known for being somewhat of a jerk on Twitter. Friends of the show Roller Girl and Super Sex 420 are really good artists in the genre. Also, shout out to Makurosu 8299 because he does some awesome stuff with 80s Japanese disco. And friend of the show Tanuki has been working on a future funk EP, which I hope will come out someday, but he started working on it and then he got diagnosed with cancer and sort of got paused then, and now it's sort of in limbo. But much love to Tanuki, and I hope it comes out someday, because his first song that he released from that was really good.
I hope he end up well too.
Yeah. So that was basically a basic overview of Vaporwave.
Oh, before you start, I just want to give you the last funny part of my notes.
Oh, sure.
So the last one is related to track number 4, Cherry Pepsi.
Oh, I love that song.
I said, funny title. I heard it tastes like shit, though.
Cherry Pepsi?
Yeah.
It's actually really good.
Oh.
I love Cherry Coke and Cherry Pepsi.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Whatever, indeed.
I thought you were going to talk about the music, not about the title.
No, I need the title. So that's why, okay, never mind then. But I really heard it tastes like shit. Maybe I should try it at some point.
Maybe you should try eating shit first.
Oh, come on. So you can compare. Okay, you can go on now.
Right, so that was a basic overview of Vaporwave and a little bit of talking about future funk. There's so much more to discover, though. As I said earlier during the episode, some of these albums can be incredibly time-consuming. There is an album by Death the Derelict .wave, I think is the name of the artist, which is like 4 hours long, and there's the 15-hour one from Telepath that I mentioned earlier. Maybe not the best thing for starters coming to Vaporwave, but there is a really good album that is 10 minutes by Lasership Stereo called Soft Season, and it sort of sums up what Vaporwave sounds like. So if you're trying to find out if Vaporwave is a thing for you and you don't have very much time, go listen to that on Bandcamp. It is a really good album that encompasses the basics of Vaporwave. If you have closer to an hour, a friend of the show, Luxury Elite, has a weekly radio show, Neon Nights, on Cosmic Sound, which is an online radio station, Wednesdays at 11 p.m. Eastern. You can go check that out. It is usually Vaporwave and surrounding genres on the show, though recently she's been playing a lot more jazz, but really great show if you have a lot of time for that. And if you have way too much time on your hands, the Reddit community around Vaporwave has actually created this thing called the Vaporwave Ultra Guide, which is a huge list of, quote, Vaporwave essentials put together by the subreddit. And since 99% of the albums are available for free, then you can basically spend a whole lot of time not paying for music and listening to all of this weird shit. Don't expect to like most of it, because I only liked about like 40% of it, maybe. I actually went through and listened to every album. Yes, I know, I'm crazy.
And is any of the three albums are in that list? Like,
all of these are on the Ultra Guide.
Okay.
Actually, maybe not the Telepath one. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But yeah. So those are some good resources if you're trying to get into Vaporwave. Hopefully some of you do. If you don't, I won't blame you. It's not for everyone. And you won't find it on Apple Music.
Would you consider those albums your favorite Vaporwave albums?
Hmm. Maybe. Because, like, I chose a theme for each album. So the themes were the origins with Mac Plus. You had sort of classic vaporwave with Atmospheres. You had the escapist theme with Telepath. And you had future funk with St. Pepsi. And I think those are sort of the groups. And I chose historically interesting albums. Well, all of these are historically interesting except for Telepaths. Telepaths I just chose because it's my favorite in that category. But I don't know if they're my favorite albums in their respective categories, those three other ones. I just didn't want... Like, I chose these because either they're historically interesting or they're accessible. Well, as far as vaporwave can be considered accessible anyway. But, like, I personally prefer Mallsoft in vaporwave subgenres. So there's an album whose name I'm forgetting. Let me go see. It's basically, like, an underground lunar hotel pool sort of feeling. Where the hell is it? Vaporwave. This one. Hologram Plaza by Disconscious is the album that I really, really like, which is basically just like this feeling of being on another planet, but you're in a swimming pool at a weird hotel. It's really messed up. And I just really like the atmospheric feel of vaporwave. One of the things that I didn't really point out is this is great music for when you're in an airplane.
Explain that, please.
All right, so vaporwave, in my opinion, has this sort of underwater quality to it where there's a lot of weight to the music that you're listening to that it makes you feel like you're underwater. Future funk is sort of the opposite, maybe not as much with St. Pepsi's stuff, but other future funk albums will have a very light feeling because it feels like you're floating when you're listening to it. And I find that there's a lot of similarity between floating in the air and being underwater, that it just lends itself very much to being in this little tiny thing that's flying in the sky. And because it's atmospheric, it makes you feel less cramped with a bunch of other people around you and just like lets you escape for the however many hours you're in a plane.
That's interesting. No, I would have thought of this kind of music to just like make me feel good in an airplane, but that's surprising. That's why I don't have the words to explain it. It feels surprising to me, and it's...
I mean, the last 2 years I've gone to Japan, that's basically what I've been listening to the whole way over there. And then when I'm coming back, I listen to podcasts because I'm not as excited as about the destination.
I'm sure when you come back, you just miss me. That's why.
Maybe. But anyway, that's everything I had about vaporwave for this episode. So if you have any final comments, add them.
Yeah, I would just say that even if I complained a lot, which was, I'm sure you expect it, I really enjoyed this challenge and homework that you asked me to do.
Though I was expecting more complaints, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess this means it was not that bad then.
Well, I mean, like, I expected a lot more complaining about the looping.
Oh, no. I think I censor myself a little bit because I complain a lot about the looping in Fallout Shop. Like, I complained a lot.
And it's not even that bad because there are some albums, I'm not going to name them because they're actually very well regarded by the community for some reason, but like the loops are so short and the songs are so long that it is so frustrating that even I couldn't tolerate them.
Oh my goodness.
Floral Shop is just like, it hits the right spot for me. But
okay, not for me.
Yeah. Okay.
So and you know what? I think I'll do a final order of them if you want me to.
like a ranking?
Yeah,
of
rankings.
The albums?
Yeah, of course. All right. So I'll start with It Vibe by St. Pepsi.
Number one.
Yep, number one. Huh. Number two is pretty hard. Yeah, I think number two will go with Atmospheres.
All right.
Because it was a neutral one. And third will be Flower Shop. And obviously, fourth will be a Telepath. Because this one, I did not enjoy it.
All right.
And I will end on that note.
All right. So if you want to find us on the internet, we are at @limipo_podcast on Twitter. We are also at limitlesspossibility.net. And you can find show notes of this specific episode at limitlesspossibility.net/20.
You can find me on Twitter at @lucconosh. That's @LucconoushE.
And I'm @Sakurina. That's SAKURINA.
And see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.